That song that we just sung is has a special place for my heart. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When I was about 14 years old, 15, I was at Ridgecrest, North Carolina, which still is a National Assembly place for our Southern Baptist churches, training, Sunday school, at that time, discipleship training, which we no longer have, music, all kinds of things. But I, as a young person, one of the things they did at nighttime was they had a lake, and they'd build a huge bonfire on the other side of the lake, and we'd have a worship service. But when we left, there's about 3,000 or so people in this gathering. When we left singing that song, and all across the campground, you could hear all the people going back to their cabins. You could just hear this echoing over and over again, blessed be the name of the Lord. So it has a special place in my heart as a young teenager hearing that. And I guess when we get to heaven, it'll be really, really wonderful, huh? So we celebrate that. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Aren't you glad He's still alive?
Yes.
It wasn't just last week. He's still alive. And I want to think about that from the standpoint of His resurrection and then from His ascension. Because we celebrate the resurrection, which we ought to do. It's wonderful to celebrate the fact He's alive. But if He was alive and then dead, it wouldn't be a whole lot of good. Think about it. He was resurrected and He's still resurrected. Have there other people been resurrected? Well, now, wait a minute. Did Jesus raise some people from the dead? Did He raise Lazarus from the dead? Are they still alive now? No. But Jesus is resurrected. Is He still alive now?
Yes,
see, that's the difference. The resurrection. So I want to think about this. His aliveness and His return to heaven. I want to read the passage in Luke 24, which talks about that. And then we'll think about it as we take a few moments to celebrate the fact that He is now ascended into heaven. He is there ruling and reigning this very day. In Luke 24, starting in verse 50, the last four verses of the chapter, says, He led them out as far as Bethany, and He lifted up His hands and blessed them. While He was blessing them, He parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they, after worshiping Him, returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising God. How would you like to have been there that day? To be there. These disciples, they had seen Him. They knew He was coming, and He had been raised again, and they celebrate that. But the Bible says, as He talked to them, He blessed them. And while He was blessing them, He just goes into heaven. And the Bible says that they rejoiced. But I want to notice something about that. As He was blessing them, the Bible says, what did they do after they saw Him resurrected and saw Him ascend? What did they do? The Bible says they worshipped Him. Now, I don't know how they did that. It doesn't explain that. But can you imagine? You've seen Jesus, Him alive, and now they watched Him go into heaven. And Acts says that the angel said He's coming back, which this Luke didn't record in the Luke's Gospel. But they worship Him. They praise Him. They think about Him. They honor Him, the one who had been raised, and now they're watching Him go into heaven. And then the Bible says when they worshiped Him, they go back to Jerusalem of what? Great joy. Great joy. Can we have that too? Because we celebrate the resurrected Jesus who's now ascended to heaven, and we think about Him. He wants us to have great joy when we recognize some of the benefits and the blessings of that. So I want to think about those things and blessings that come because He's returned to heaven. Now, I wouldn't trust Jesus just because He's Jesus. But I also title this, because He's gone to heaven, He's returned or ascended, some things about that we can trust Him with. Reasons we can trust Him. So, if you got your outline out, which I hope you do, out of your bulletin, first thing is, write in, trust Jesus in His exalted position. Trust Jesus in His exalted position. Because when He was lifted up to heaven, He took a superior, supreme place in all the kingdom, in all the eternity, and in all of heaven. Let me read the first passage that talks about that. It says, therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, have you? Amen. If you're a child of God, you've been raised up with Christ. You're alive with Him. And you get to share all He's doing. Therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, for Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on the earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. He said that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. I don't understand all of the relationship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but the Scripture says He's seated in a place of authority, a place of honor, a place of great significance. And so we celebrate that He is in that exalted place. I think about the Scripture that says when in Philippians, it says when He died, God gave Him a name above every name, that every knee will bow and every tongue confess. Jesus holds that position, that exalted position in heaven. Notice also it said, because He is seated that position, because He is high above all else, what are we to do? Set our mind on things above. Think about Him. Think about what He's done. Think about who He is. Think about all that's going on in His life. And my mind, I want to focus up on Him. We got enough stuff down here that will pull us down. We need to focus our mind up above because we need some uplift. And when I look at the things that are happening in our country, and especially in the state of California, I need some uplift. I need to look up. Because if I look at the world around me and all the stuff that California is trying to do about, well, I won't go into all the detail. But I need uplift. And I'm grateful today that I can look up to Him and say, praise the Lord, I'm going to set my mind on You and what You're doing. Because after all, does Jesus still reign? Is He still in authority? He is. And so we celebrate that. So He said we set our mind on things above because Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Let me read this second verse, passage, really, not a verse. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of His might, which He brought about in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And He has put all things in subjection under His feet and gave Him His head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who dwells or fills all in all. Listen, Jesus, that's a resurrected, ascended Jesus, holds this position. Notice what He said. He's above all power, all authority, all dominion, all rule, every name that's named. Aren't you glad to know that Jesus still rules and still reigns? That really, ultimately, He allows things to happen in our world, but ultimately He's in charge of everything that's going to happen. And no government, no system comes up without His permission. And if He decides it's not going to be that way, it's not going to be that way. If He decides it's going to be that way, it's going to be that way. I don't care what any of the political leaders or anyone else in our world says, He is in the exalted position. The Bible says He's at the right hand of God. He's above every name in this age and the one to come. So we're pretty safe. He put all things in subjection under His feet. He's in charge. Folks, I'm so glad I can put my life in charge of somebody who's in charge. Somebody who rules and reigns. So when we think about the ascension of Jesus, He didn't just go up to heaven. He went to be the dominion of it all, over it all. And the Bible says He's also to be the head of the church. Who's the church? We who are children of God. So that means He's to be my head and your head. And our head together as a body of believers, we're to listen to Him. Can you hear Him? Can we as people really hear Jesus? Can we really know that He's at work in us? Absolutely. Because He's ascended. He's in this high, exalted position. And I pray that we will be able to say to Him, I yield to Your authority. I yield to Your exalted position. I praise You. I rejoice in You. That means whatever happens in my life, whatever circumstance that comes my way, whatever issues I have to deal with, Jesus is above them. Jesus can rule over them. Doesn't mean I won't have to go through them. But folks, everything that comes our way in this world, Jesus Christ is the authority. He is above every issue, every health issue, every financial issue, every family issue. Whatever comes, He rules and reigns. And I can bring that under His authority and say, Jesus, I want You to come and dwell and work through this situation to bring glory to Your wonderful name. So I'm grateful to know that those circumstances, I'm not under them. Jesus rules over them. And I can commit them to Him and say, Lord, You take over. You help me. Doesn't mean I don't get involved. I do what He tells me to do. But He's going to rule and reign in my life. And I'm grateful for that. So I say, thank You, Lord, that whatever I need, He's going to supply it. In fact, I think that He is a supply. If you got Jesus, if you got the living God, He supplies. So whatever I need, He supplies it. He may use a job. He may use a friend. He may use a circumstance. But He's the one who supplies it. And I understand that He has the power and the authority to meet every need. And He's going to do it because He promised He would. So I today trust Jesus, this exalted Jesus, this resurrected and ascended Jesus, because He is above everything. Folks, I think if you begin to think about that, it'll give you a lot of peace. A lot of joy, a lot of delight, even no matter what's happening, because He's exalted. The second area is, trust Jesus to save me forever. Trust Jesus to save me because He's in this exalted position. He is ascended to the right hand of the Father. He is above all. Notice what the Scripture says about His salvation. The former priests, on the one hand, existed in greater numbers because they were permitted by death and continuing, but Jesus, on the other hand, because He continues forever, holds His priesthood permanently. Therefore, He is able to save forever those who draw near to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them. Thank You, Lord. Jesus, the permanent high priest, the one who represents us, the one who died and rose again, Jesus is in that place of position, that authority. And that, it says, because He continues how long? Forever. Aren't you glad to have a God that you know will always be there? A Savior who will always be there? He continues forever. Because He continues forever, He holds His priesthood, His place permanently. Therefore, because of who He is able to save how long?
Forever.
Forever. Folks, that's good news. When I come and confess my sins to Jesus Christ and receive Him as Savior and Lord, and I'm born again of His Spirit, I'm saved forever. I'm not just saved for this life. I'm not just saved for tomorrow. I'm saved forever, and I belong to everlasting God for as long as forever is, however long that is. Thank You, Lord, because He's in this exalted position. He's resurrected. He's ascended. He can do that because He lives forever. And I celebrate today the fact that's a great deal of security, isn't it? My life is anchored in the forever God. I'm His forever, and He's mine forever, and I'll never, 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 never be without Him. I can rejoice in that. There's a great deal of peace about that. Great deal of security. But there's also a great deal of freedom to serve. Because if I belong to Him forever, nothing's ever going to take me out of His hands. I can go forth and serve Him. I can share Him. I can love Him. I can be involved in the kingdom work because I don't have to worry about my foreverness taken care of. I can just be out and serve Him. I can go share Jesus with Him. I can get involved in a Bible study group. I can get involved in some kind of kingdom ministry because I belong to the forever God who saved me forever. I'm free to go for it because He is alive in me and I belong to Him forever. What a joy it is to know this ascended Jesus gives me the freedom to do everything He wants me to do, to serve in every way He wants me to serve, to be involved in whatever way He wants me to minister, whatever that is. So when He asks me to, I can do it because I belong to the forever God. I'm saved forever. I'm glad to know that even when I mess up and I don't always get right, do things right before God, I'm still saved. I still belong to Him because there's not a one of us who doesn't mess up now and then. If you haven't messed up, well, no, never mind. Because we do. Don't get personal. Well, I'm personal about me because I know I do. But I'm grateful that He saves me and I can keep on serving Him. I belong to Him and I'm going to follow. Now, that doesn't mean I want to do things bad. It doesn't mean I want to disobey. I like what the Scripture says in one passage about Him forgiving us of our sins. It should be sin because we are forgiven. And I like the King James Version which says, God forbid. No, I don't want to do that. But I am grateful to know that this is Jesus who's ascended. When He saved me, He saves me forever. So folks, if you're here today and don't know Jesus, if you commit your life to the Savior and Lord, ask Him to save your soul, forgiving you. When He saves you, it's permanent. It's forever. You can commit your life to Him with that kind of confidence that He is going to be at work in you. On the other side of your notes, trust Jesus who has sent Holy Spirit. Trust Jesus who sent Holy Spirit. Jesus said to the disciples before He had been crucified and risen, He said this, "But now I'm going to Him who sent me." Talking about going back to the Father. "None of you ask me, where are you going? But because I said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you." Notice the promise. Jesus said, when is the Holy Spirit going to come? After He's ascended to heaven. He said, if I go away, I'm going to send Holy Spirit back to you. Now, when Jesus was on earth, where could He be at one time? One place. When Holy Spirit comes and has come, where can Holy Spirit be at one time? Everywhere. Everywhere. So the ascended Jesus has sent us Holy Spirit, who lives inside each of us, who are His children, to be there for us. I think that day came, what we call the day of Pentecost, when Holy Spirit descended on the followers of Christ, and now it says all of us who know Him have Holy Spirit in us. So we have, because He's ascended, we have Holy Spirit. We have the presence of Jesus through the Holy Spirit, all of us, all the time, in any place whatsoever. What a wonderful gift. But that came about because He ascended. Because He keeps His promise. He said, I'm going to go to heaven and I'm going to send you my Holy Spirit. And He did. You know what? That means every promise Jesus has ever made is still going to be kept. The ascended Jesus, the one who rules in heaven, will keep every promise because He's alive to do it. Everything He's always said to us, anything He's given us in Scripture, I'm grateful that He keeps my promise. That means He's given me Holy Spirit and given all of us Holy Spirit. Aren't you glad for the guidance of the Holy Spirit? As a child of God, there are things that happen to you and places you go and you wonder, why did I do that? And you realize God was in it and led you to do that. Did you ever go somewhere and then decide to do something different and you wonder why you did it? And then later you look back and say, oh, God had me give me direction. It was His Spirit instructing me to not go there or to go there. I'm grateful to have that presence of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives as believers to guide us and to show us where we ought to go, how we ought to live. I'm also grateful for God's Holy Spirit. Because when I pick up this book and I start reading it, trying to understand it, my mind sometimes gets clouded. But I'm grateful that the Holy Spirit of God can cause me to see, oh, I see what that means. I see something I never saw before. How did you get that? Because you had a smart mind? Because you figured it out? No, because the Holy Spirit of God took that truth of God and caused you to see something you had never seen before. I'm glad for the ascended Jesus who sent Holy Spirit who reveals the truth of God from His Word over and over again. That don't just happen once in a while. That can happen all the time. In fact, my desire is it to be normal, not abnormal. That as I open the book and read it, that the author of the book, who God says Holy Spirit, reveals over and over. Just, I expect Him to show me truths from the book. Because He's ascended, He sent Holy Spirit to explain the Scriptures. But not only explain it, but to help me do it. I'm glad Jesus didn't say, now you guys, I'm going to tell you, this is what you ought to do. And I'm going to go back to heaven. I'm going to send there. And I'm going to expect you to do everything you ought to do. But you got to do it on your own. Aren't you glad for the gift of God's Holy Spirit in us that says, I'll help you be what you ought to be. I'll help you do. I'll help you be kind. I'll help you love your neighbor. I will help you to seek me. I will help you be honest and holy and all those things. I'm grateful that Holy Spirit of God is there to help us. That resurrected Jesus, that ascended Jesus has given to us. He gives me wisdom and He gives discernment. There are times that you just don't know what to do and you start praying and it seems like you just get, this is what I ought to do. A sense of discernment, awareness that this is the way I ought to go or the place I ought to do. And that's God's Holy Spirit bringing to our mind. Now, I recognize God's Holy Spirit will always be in harmony with Scripture. If it's not in harmony with Scripture, it's not the Holy Spirit. Okay? It's some other spirit. And you don't want that spirit. But I'm grateful that God has given His Holy Spirit. I remember times like that when I know He's directed me. He said, do this and don't do that. I may have shared it before. I remember one time some many years ago at this point. But we were involved in the church of that. We had a way to assist people who needed some help. They would call. We had a joint fund thing through the churches in Bakersfield area. One night I had a call from a person who said, we're down to so-and-so motel and we need a place to stay. And, okay, so I got in the car. I started down to the motel. About halfway down there, someone said, don't go. You know what I did? I turned around and went back home. I never did. I don't know. Why do I do that? I believe God's Spirit said, don't go. I believe the times in our lives that we wind up going to somebody's house and we didn't know why, but when we get there, we find out we should have been there. Or we find ourselves calling somebody on the phone. We don't know why, but God does. And when you call them, you realize, oh, there's a good reason that I did that. And sometimes, so I'm grateful for this gift that the ascended Jesus has sent back to us, His holy presence in the person of the Holy Spirit. Thank you. Another aspect I want to trust Jesus who's ascended is to intercede for me. Trust Jesus to intercede for me. Scripture I read earlier talked about that He interceded. I didn't mention it back in Hebrews making intercession, but let me read this scripture verse. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Thank you, Lord, for that. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus, He who died. Yes, rather, who was raised. Who at the right hand of God who also intercedes for us. What a joy to know that the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the one who died and rose again and ascended to heaven, is interceding on behalf of His people. Now, I don't think that applies to lost people. It applies to Christian people. But does He know how to intercede? Does He know how to pray? Does He know what to bring to the Father about our life and what we need? Absolutely. Because He knows better than anybody. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And the Bible says, because He's ascended, He's at the right hand of the Father, intercede for us. The other scripture says, now the main point in what has been said is this, we have such a high priest who has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of majesty in heaven, a minister in the sanctuary and in the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched, not man. We have a high priest, one who represents us in the kingdom of God. Does He know what's best? Do you suppose that Jesus, when He prayed, gets His prayers answered? Isn't that wonderful? Our Lord, Scripture says, intercedes for us before the Father. Does He know how to represent us well? Does He always represent us in a way that's best for us? Always. And so this ascended Jesus is there at the right hand of the Father. And I'm grateful that He's there to intercede for me. He's interceding so that I can obey. He calls me to listen to the Father and to pay attention, to hear Him. He intercedes that I become what He sees me to be. When I think about His intercession, what does God see us to be? What does Jesus see us to be? Does He see us to be how we see ourselves sometimes as poor and lowly? We need to be humble to understand that. But sometimes we think too low of ourselves. Does Jesus see us as saved people? Does Jesus see us as blameless? Does He see us as holy? Does He see us as before the fall. He sees the future. So he sees us. So when he intercedes, he doesn't just intercede according to what I think or the way I see things. He intercedes according to the way he sees things. And I think his picture is a whole lot bigger than mine. His desire is a whole lot better than mine. And because he's ascended the right hand of the Father, he's interceding for us. The last thing on your notes, trust Jesus with confidence. Trust Jesus with confidence. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, that's Jesus ascended, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Because we have a great high priest who's ascended through the heavens, passed through the heavens, Jesus, we come with confidence. We come with confidence. We draw near to the throne of grace. Do you ever have a need to draw near to the throne of grace? Do you ever have a need to cry out to God and say, I need you. I need your touch. I need your care. I need your wisdom. Because he's ascended. He's the right hand of the Father. We draw near to the throne of grace. When we get there, what do we get? Mercy. Mercy. Aren't you glad that when you come to the throne of God, he didn't look down and say, well, you messed up. And you dummy, you should have done that. And you did that, and so you're out of luck. Aren't you glad when you come humbly before the throne of God and cry out to him, he forgives. He extends mercy. He says, I'll help you again. You ever had to be helped more than once by the Lord Jesus? You ever had to have his mercy extended to you more than once? Sometimes because you messed up and did the same thing you did before. He doesn't hit us over the head and say, dummy, you should have done that. He forgives us again. And so when I come to Jesus who ascended, I'm going to find mercy. And he knows whether I'm coming to sincere heart or not. You can just come with a frivolous attitude. That don't work. But if I come with a sincere heart, I'm going to find mercy. Because he's there to do that. Secondly, what else do I find? Grace to help in my time of need. Grace. Oh, thank you, God, for grace. Forgiveness and cleansing. Grace to help me at the time I need it. Does he know when I need it? Absolutely. He's going to give it when I need it? Yeah. Not always in my time, but in his. So when I come with confidence that this Jesus who's ascended into heaven, I'll find those things. So when I come to him with the throne of grace, I come with confidence that he is going to hear me. He is going to hear me. And he is going to respond. He may not respond the way I want him to, but he is going to respond. He isn't going to ignore us. He is going to respond because he's interceding for us. The right hand of the Father, and I can come with confidence, he will answer in his way, in his time, yes, no, later, or something else. But he is going to. Aren't you glad that God didn't sit there complacently? He says, I'm there for you. And I can come with confidence that he will hear me. He'll respond. He'll act. And I'm grateful I can keep coming again and again and again and again. He says, welcome. He's ascended to the right hand of the Father. He's in that place of dominion. So I want to bring everything to him and trust him. So when I think about this, aren't you glad not only did Jesus come and born as a baby? Jesus lived here for a while. We watched him. Jesus went to the cross and took all of our sins. Jesus rose again. And Jesus today is at the right hand of the Father. Jesus is ascended to the place of power and dominion and authority. And I get to belong to him and call on him and trust him and look to him and cry out to him who's already seated. He who's above all. And if I come and ask him to save me, he'll save me forever. So if you're a child of God, thank God that you're saved forever. And say, God, help me live that way every day. I'm glad to have that Jesus Christ is all. It's all about Him anyway, isn't it? It's really about Him, what He does and how we respond to Him. So today, what issues do you need to bring? What's on your heart? What struggles are you dealing with? What things in your mind are bothering you? What issues are bugging you? Can you bring them to Him who's there and say, Jesus, I need to intercede for me with this, whatever the issue is. Sometimes I need to have Him ask Him to change me so that I want to. You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes I read things in Scripture and I know that's what I ought to do, but I don't really want to do it. And I say, God, change my wanter so that I want what You want. Can He change that? Holy Spirit of God, this dominion of Jesus can actually change me inside. I begin to see things differently. My desires are changed. I think Peter's desires are changed because I remember when he said to Jesus, you can't die on the cross, and Jesus told him, get behind me, Satan. But Peter's life was changed. He became a whole different person. He began to want what God wanted. He began to want what Christ had done for him. And He'll do that for us. So today, I trust Jesus. He's the ascended one. He's the ruling one. He's the reigning one. Yeah, next Sunday I want to talk about Him coming again. But that I'm not going to do a whole lot of detail, but we'll think about it. But I want you to see, this is who we belong to. Let's let Him rule in us. Rule in us. Yield to Him. Let's bow together. If you're here today and need a Savior, Jesus is the answer. My prayer is that you'll ask Him to come, because He'll save you if you ask Him. Come with a sincere heart. If you're a child of God, thank Him that He's ascended, but that He also is here today in His Spirit in you to work with you. There may be areas you need to bring to Him today. Maybe you're here today and there are heartaches, there's struggles, there's issues. There's questions you need answers to. There may be relationships you need to be resolved. There may be other things, but our Lord Jesus is in a position to deal with them if you bring them to Him. He'll show you what to do. He'll work above and beyond what you and I can do. Dear Lord, thank You for being here this day. Thank You that You're alive and well in heaven, but You're also alive and well through the Holy Spirit, the one You sent to us. We're listening, Lord. Give us a heart and a spirit inside us to listen to that Word of God, that voice of God that urges us to make decisions for Christ, to bring them to You. Lord, for that person who needs to commit their lives to Christ Jesus, may this be the day when they choose to receive Him, become a child of God, and begin to live for Him. Lord, we thank You for this church. Thank You for what You're going to do today in these moments of decision. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. We sing. Pastor Ryan will be here. I'll be here. If you're giving your heart to Christ, come. You want to share a decision? Come.